Yes.
Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting for April 10, 2024. And I will proceed with the announcements for tonight's meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public, using either the call-in option or internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend in person. We do not have any members of the public in the committee room tonight, so the procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from committee members. The committee then comes to a consensus to move an item to the board for consideration. And when possible, we will consider putting items on the consent calendar. Any PowerPoint shown at tonight's meeting will be posted to the SCV Water website. Two of the four committee members are present in the boardroom at the moment. Director Cooper will not be attending tonight, and Vice President Ozahosky, Chair Ozahosky, will be arriving a couple of minutes late, and he'll take over when he arrives. We can continue with the agenda. Item one, Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please rise and face the flag? Put your hand over your heart and join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item two tonight is public comment. I will go ahead and read the members of the public may comment as to items within subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda may do so at the time each item is considered. Comments may, at the discretion of the committee chair, be limited to 3 minutes for each speaker. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, dial *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. As I said earlier, there's no members of the public present in the committee room. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment online under item two?
There is none.
All right. We will then proceed to item three, review of the proposed FY24-25 Water Resources and Conservation and Sustainability Operating Budget. And Dr. Al-Hassan has arrived, so he's with us. So presenter between Ali and Mr. Cole, whoever's going to lead off.
I will go ahead and lead off. Thank you, Amy, for pulling up. And somehow it's budget season again. It seems like it was just yesterday. But here we are again. So as you, I'm sure, recall, right, we do a two-year budget now. And so this is the second year of that budget. And so as we walk through this, you'll see what we try to do is lay out what had been previously approved and any amendments or changes that we're requesting be made to adopt, be considered for adopting by the board in this second year of that budget cycle. Next slide, Uni. So Ali and myself will tag team this tonight. Mr. Dickens is not here. He was following the eclipse, and so he took a road trip to Texas, I think, or New Mexico is where it was.
Can I pause you for about 30 seconds to let Chairman Ozahowski just pull into the parking lot? He'll be in the committee room
in the next
30 seconds or so. So he's a good time. He just started.
My apologies. An accident on Golden Valley. And so I had to go all the way around.
Catch your breath.
Never fine on that. Chair, we're just getting started with the budget presentation, so it's good timing.
Okay. Perfect.
President Martin had gotten us through the other menial stuff at the beginning, so that's good. So I was just indicating that myself and Ali will be walking you all through the budget tonight. This is the second year of the two-year budget. So how we laid it out was to try and look at what had been approved before versus what changes we are wanting to have for consideration. Mr. Dickens, this is where I was just leaping off was chasing the eclipse with his family. So they took a road trip and met some of his family in New Mexico and have been enjoying that. So he is not with us tonight. So I will be covering his portion of that, of the presentation.
Okay.
So, you know, high level, we won't spend too much time on these things as we've just worked ourselves through the strategic plan, but you know, what do we want the budget to achieve for our department? Well, we definitely want to align with the strategic plan goals and objectives. You know, we have a specific focus, making sure we're compliant with new regulatory requirements, things like conservation, way of life, and other things that are in front of our department. Ensuring sustainable resources, and then addressing challenges, things like uncertainty to climate change and contaminants and all those fun things that we get to deal with. Next slide, Uni. These are the actual goals that really surround our department. There's two of them, two main ones in the strategic plan. The first one being goal C, which is really kind of the meat and potatoes side of our water supply and resources portion of the strategic plan. And then as you probably remember, we added a goal G this year for environmental stewardship. And so quite a bit of the resiliency and sustainability stuff starts to touch on those points as well. Next slide, Uni. Briefly, two budget components that we'll walk through tonight. One being the operating budget. So it's basically the day-to-day stuff that we deal with. And then the other being the capital budget. Those of you on the engineering committee are probably very familiar with the capital budget, but in water resources and sustainability, we also have projects that fall under the capital umbrella. And so we can walk you through those tonight as well. Just a brief reminder, staffing that was approved in the two-year budget cycle, we had an admin tech that has been filled. And then we had a water conservation specialist, which is a limited term duration employee as we work ourselves through the new regulations. That has been filled. And then we're currently recruiting for a senior water resource specialist, hopefully by the middle of this year, if everything comes together. We'll be closing the notice here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be starting interviews for that position.
It's closed, actually.
It's closed.
And it's a go. 5:30 today, it's closed.
So there you go. So we're even a little bit further ahead than I was thinking on that one. Really, and again, on that one, focusing on hydrogeology is the need that we feel we really need some assistance with. And then we also have a water resource specialist that is in the budget cycle for this next fiscal year. And that one was to focus more on biology, kind of the watershed sciences and those types of things. So those are still as proposed, and that's the status of them. Next slide, Uni. just a reminder of what kind of our organization looks like in the department. I've red boxed what we're talking about tonight. The communications side was handled at the Public Outreach Legislative Committee, but we're dealing with the box on the right, which the main functions are, you know, basically the water resources and then the sustainability components. And that's how we're staffed up to achieve the objectives that we are laying out in the budget and strategic plan. Next slide, Uni. So this is where I get to hand it off to Ali. So we're going to walk you through kind of the operating components and then the capital components of each of those sides of the budget. And then we'll definitely be back for questions at the end for those that have them. Ali,
go for it. As Steve mentioned at the beginning, this is kind of the checkpoint between the 2 years of the budget cycle, where we are, what we have spent, and what we are planning to spend in the next budget year. For us, the operating budget components are mainly, and this is just highlights. I'm going to share in the next slide the more of the details of the, a lot of the details of the of what's going into the operating budgets for us in the water resources. The professional services is the biggest component, one of the biggest components for us, which is mainly our consultants that we use in different activities, including the planning studies. This is including some of the work that we're going to do in the urban water management plan, plus the salt management plan, and also the development of the recycled water plan. Also, this funding is helping us in doing the phase two of the recharge project, the planning and the design and the modeling for that work. Also, it's also helping us to pursue the recycled water optimization feasibility study. And as you're going to see in your agenda, this is coming to you in the next month or so as we are planning to select a consultant so that they can help us in developing this before we start the urban water management plan. This work also help us in pursuing grants and management of grants, paying for the outside support that we needed for management of the grants. One of the new items that's added for this year is the invasive species projects and studies. And this is in relation to the funding that we received from the state, but also in preparation for projects that we wanted to prepare ourselves to work with the Corps of Engineers as they're having funding for this activity, but we needed to get ourselves to do a feasibility study, to get ourselves in a place where we can get some money from the Corps of Engineers to pursue the invasive species funding. So with that, in the next slide, you're going to see what we budgeted at the beginning of the year and what we are now revising the budget. So at the beginning of last year, the budget cycle, for this item, we budgeted $1.1 million, but it's now $2.2 million. So it's a significant increase. And the reason for that, we have a lot of the activities have been deferred from the last year, fiscal year 2023-2024 was deferred to be done in the next year. And there are so many reasons. With the different studies, there are so many reasons for that. Some of it, we were waiting for permits. Others, we were waiting for procurement, just going through the procurement process and trying to get the consultants in place so that they can work with us. And there is some reasons that we have to defer some of the work into the next year or the coming year. And that's the deferred work is about $550,000. But since we took on the invasive species projects and studies from the capital project, we moved that funding from the capital into our operating budget, that's another $550,000. So the increase, the $1.1 million increase, is really between those two topics, the deferred work that we were doing in all of these activities, plus the $500,000 that's coming for the invasive species projects and studies. It's very important to note that for one of the invasive species projects, it's funded by the state, but as you might know, that we have to pay first, and the state is going to reimburse us for that funding. So that's why we budgeted into our budget for now. For the Groundwater Sustainability Agency, the funding increased from $800,000 that we budgeted at the beginning of the cycle to $1.2 million. And there is a couple of reasons for that. We are continuing implementing some of these projects. There is some deferred work that we moved from last year to this year because we are still waiting for some of the agreements from the Department of Water Resources that they were taking longer than what we expected to have some of these agreements. Some of these projects include the additional work that we are anticipating in response to the comment that we received from DWR upon approval of the GSP. So there is some more studies that we need to do and more activities that we need to take. And that's why we are going up by $400,000 in this category. Devil's Den is staying the same. It's $300,000. As you all know, we are going through a lease agreement and that you're going to hear about it in the next board meeting. But still, we have obligations to maintain that the maintenance of the property. We still have that for now is under our control, and that's what we need to spend this money for. The other thing is the source of supply. This is the same amount of funding that we have budgeted from the beginning, and we'll continue taking this fund. Next slide, please, Jimmy. So again, this is the details of the different components that's going into the professional services in addition to the Groundwater System and Sustainability Agency. As I mentioned, at the beginning of the last year, we budgeted for this year, is going to for the coming year is 1.1. Now it's 2.2. I just highlighted, you can see a little bit highlighted in the last two rows of the professional services. These are the two projects that moved from capital projects into our operating budget. Next slide, please. So now talking about the capital budget highlights, we'll continue the Resiliency Water Master Plan. As you have heard recently, we hired a consultant, a groundwater consultant, to help us with that work. The funding almost is the same. There is just an increase of $100,000 of deferred work that we didn't do in 2024. Now we are moving to fiscal year 2025. The rest of those is similar to what we have budgeted at the beginning of the year. The only difference is the future banking opportunities. We are adding now the local recharge planning and design under this category. And that's one of the projects that we would like to. We are working with engineering. We are working with water quality. We put together a team we're going to start working on doing a preliminary design for this, where it can get us to hopefully more than 30% of the design of the project. And then that will help us to pursue more grants for this project. So this is where we are spending some money so that we can set ourselves where we can get grants for the final design as well as the construction of this project. Next slide, please. So in this slide, this is the budget. As again, you know, the middle column is what we budgeted at the beginning of the fiscal year last year. And this is now the new projected budget that we have. And it looks like it's went down by certain amount. As I mentioned at the beginning of last year, that some of this money was going to the invasive species work. Now that's moving to operating budget. One of the things I just want to highlight at the end of this table, the Rosedale Phase 2 wells. This is a project that we were planning to pursue in the last, 6 years?
It's been some time, yeah.
So, and we received grant for that funding. But unfortunately, because of all of the new regulations regarding SGMA, it became very difficult for us to utilize that funding in that locality to develop these wells. And so, as you can see, it now stays the same for now. But there is, as of last week, we asked the reclamation, the Bureau of Reclamation, to cancel this grant. And probably this is going to be in the final budget. This might go away because we couldn't drill new wells in that area as a result of SGMA. SGMA have so many regulations in that area where the impact of our new wells need to be evaluated and how that's going to impact the surrounding wells, existing wells. And that's putting more regulations now in each one of those localities of where you want, where you need to put these new wells. And that's actually reduced significantly our ability to find new locations for these wells. And so with that, we couldn't use the funding because the funding is attached to that specific location. We cannot use it here internally and locally in our basin or in our area. It has to be used in Rosedale. It has to be used to give us an ability to get 5,000 acre feet. And we cannot do that with the current Sigma regulations that we have there. With that, I think that's the end of my water resources presentation. This goes back to Steve.
So I'll hop into the sustainability stuff, similar format. The water conservation programs and outreach, that budget has been similar for the last several years. We basically use just an escalation factor to keep pace with the cost of things. It's a tough budget to spend every year because it depends on how much program take up there is from the community. This year, I think, is going to be the most we've ever spent of the budget. But the idea is to have the funds there, that if the programs are being fully utilized, that you have the funds there to go ahead and do those. So that budget's staying the same, essentially. Water use efficiency strategic plan, we just walked the committee through that. The board adopted the resolution to move forward with that contract. So you'll see some movement in the dollars being basically deferred this year and then brought into to this next fiscal year to accommodate that. And then there's some sustainability funds in there to make sure we're doing some of the sustainability objectives as well as solar panel kind of management falls in there as well as we're managing our solar facilities. And there's a cost associated with that. Next slide. So here you can just see it pretty quickly. It's much easier with this table because it's not as dense as the other one. Just not as many items on it. But if you can see, the thing that's really only changing is that professional services other. And that's a reflection of that strategic plan not being completed this last fiscal year, but moving to the next fiscal year. So that was a strategy. We weren't late on that. We were waiting to see the new regulations develop a little bit more, which we have now. So the timing is ripe to do that. And that's why those funds have been not spent this year, but are being moved into next year. Next slide, Uni. So capital side of sustainability. We'll walk through Purple Prep. Also, we still have the water conservation garden education in the budget. We haven't pulled that trigger, but it's in the budget. So that's a discussion we can have whether we want to continue to do that or not. And we have the battery storage program that is moving and is underway. So next slide, Uni. So what you'll see here at the top is the battery energy storage project was budgeted last year at $3.25 million. That didn't get spent. So we've moved those dollars into this next fiscal year as that project moves forward and it's estimated at the $2.95 million. Bridgeport Pocket Park, that wrapped up. That's off the bottom line. You see the two conversion dollar amounts. So I think what we're learning, that's an educated number now, much more than it was before, when we are looking at what it takes to convert some of these end users. So, you know, in the instance of 2D, that's roughly, I think, 30 end user customers conversion. Some are a lot easier than others, and that's why that number is reflecting kind of the complexities of that. And same thing for 2B Vista Canyon, the customer conversion for a couple of those projects are pretty extensive to get them to convert. Mainly meaning there's a lot of on-site type work that has to happen to accommodate dual sources of supply to the properties. So a lot more to be there. We're going to be having our ordinance discussion next week too. So lots going on with recycled water. Solar array, you'll see we're starting to budget now capital for the solar arrays that we're managing, just to make sure we have dollars there. If we have failure, the system's getting older. So we've had a couple inverter things and some other things that are a little bit on shaky ground. So we'll probably be replacing some of those in the not too distant future. So we've got dollars there to accommodate that. There's your garden, our garden. So that's still in there. It hasn't changed. And then we've got a couple other items that haven't changed, the water demand factor software and water smart target software that will help us as we move forward into the new communication on the conservation's way of life items. Next slide, Uni. So here you go. That's the recommendation, is that this committee recommend that this updated budget get incorporated into the agency's 24-25 fiscal year budget. And we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
All right, thank you. Any virtual attendees, questions or comments?
We do not.
Okay. Directors, questions, comments? Is it Martin?
Thank you, Chair Ozahowski. A couple of questions. One about the invasive species project. In the past, the city has taken the lead on this. I know you mentioned we're working with the Corps, but are we working with the city at all? Are we collaborating with the city on this as well? Yes.
We are part of a local or kind of a regional team that's working on it. That's involved the city. The city is doing part of it. The funding that we received from the state to do some of the work is a little bit different than the removal only. It goes beyond doing the understanding of the amount of water that's used by the Arundel. That's one of the things that we wanted. It's kind of a research. We have a research component of the funding is going to understand how much water is used. And then the best practices for removal of the Arundel in specific areas. And so that's going to be part of the bigger team work that's done under, I think, WAM.
There is a WAM group is what it's called.
Yeah. WAM group, that's our project is one of those projects that's working that. And we are working with NGOs, like Tree People also included in this work, as well as the city and also other partners in the watershed.
I probably asked this before, but I can't recall, because it's probably a mixed bag. Who has the right-of-way through these areas in the river? The underlying property owner, and perhaps who's got jurisdiction?
It's a mixed bag, yeah. Fortunately, the city has acquired a lot of it through a lot of contributed areas, like development contributes land to them. So the city owns a huge swath of the river now, basically from Five Bridge to the east. And it goes all the way up to the San Diego. There are private properties kind of intermixed in there, but the main Arundo areas are under city ownership. So get on the other side of the I-5, going west, it's New Holland and Barney.
I have a couple more questions, if I may.
I want to follow up on yours. So the invasive species study. I need more clarity on this. So it's my understanding that we've done numerous of these studies over Arundel. I mean, we've identified that that's one of our principal species that consumes our water. What additional studies do we need?
Yeah, I can walk through it a little bit if you want, Ali. So a couple things. One, we haven't done a study saying how much water it saves in our area.
Okay.
So that one's key, we think, to communicating for future funding efforts. How much water do you save by removing the Arundel? So Ali was mentioning that one. That's a key component of this next fund. I think the key takeaway on the first, you know, invasive bullet line there, that has a $1 million grant, right? So there's a revenue component. We're showing the expense on our side here, but there's a $1 million grant that is going to fund that work going over the next 3 years. So there's a work plan. Some of those are scientific studies to underpin more heavily what the benefit of removing their rundo is. And then it'll also have a substantial rundo removal component that builds upon the ones that have already been done. So it's kind of a two component piece.
Okay, and that expense will be covered in the same fiscal year by the grant?
Yes, over the next 3 years. So it's a... We'll spend some dollars this year. It'll get covered, you know, by the grant. And then we'll spend some dollars next year. It'll get covered by the grant and so on and so forth.
Understood. All right. But, Martin, please.
I just want to do the Army Corps one because they're two different components. And so we also received a congressional directed spending fund of $50,000 to try to advance work with the Army Corps. And the way that the Corps works is they have to do a feasibility study, and it's a very formal process. And so that $50,000 will go in part to that feasibility study. The agency, we don't know the amount yet. We're working with the Corps to develop that scope, but we've budgeted our share, and we do a cost share of that with the Corps to do a feasibility study. If that feasibility study gets authorized, it opens kind of the golden door to go through and get substantial funding and do a core project to do a running. So that's a long-term play to try and access funds that we currently cannot access without having that feasibility study.
Is that part of the NEPA process?
NEPA?
Is that part of the...
Well, you because you're working with the Corps, you would have to do some NEPA, but it's a special Section 7, I believe, is the code that the Corps works through for watershed improvement. So it's a very specific process that we've been working with our federal advocates on to try and line that funding source up.
I know in the presentation there was a different terminology maybe than we're used to seeing, what I'm used to seeing for the recycled water, the old recycled water master plan. Now it's water recycled water resiliency plan, resiliency master plan. I'm not sure what the name was. Is the old recycled water master plan a thing of the past that never got finalized because of the issues with the treatment plant? Available water, but is that, are we transitioned away from that master plan?
I would say we have not. I mean, that those are the why we're still underpinning in the phases and in the development of the recycle program. The plan that we're looking at this time will bring that forward, but that still is a solid plan. It's really focusing on reuse out of the sanitation plants, potentially indirect potable or potable reuse, right? Looking at the big reuse question and seeing what, if in our valley, that's something that is something we can achieve. So basically going all the way to a direct potable reuse. And so it's evaluating that kind of process and what it would take for this valley to do that.
A last question, if you mind, brother. It's okay. You mentioned the maintenance required for the solar array. Are we at some point going to get a report on the solar array performance now that we own it, right? So in terms of what we would have had to pay Edison versus how it's performing, I'm just curious. We did invest a lot of money to buy it. I'd be curious to know if we're going to give any sort of brief, if that, some sort of performance report.
Yep, we can definitely do that.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Just circling back to the invasive species and the work with the Corps of Engineers on the feasibility study. Is that being designed so that we could potentially use federal dollars to help fund Bokeh Canyon? Or that two probably separate things?
I think there's going to be separate things. The planning area that we were working on the core with was from basically Saugus Reclamation to the I-5 bridge. So that section is getting all the Arundo out of that section. We are pursuing a different grant avenue for Bokeh Canyon, but that one is through the United States Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
And we also received a congressional directed spending authorization for that, $300,000, to do a very similar thing. Theirs is called the PIFR. It's a planning, I'm going to mess up the I.
Investigation
report. Feasibility report. Planning investigation feasibility report. So we're walking through those steps as well, but we feel that the $300,000 there is sufficient. That's why we don't have an expense built into the budget right now for that project. But that's the pathway we are trying to align for Bokeh Canyon.
As I recall it, the PowerPoint presentation, there was a reduction in the number of dollars that we showed for maybe monitoring wealth in place. That's just a timing thing, or is that reduction?
If I can answer that, it's a timing because we didn't have the DWR approval of the signing the grant agreement yet. So we have to push some, defer some of the work to the next year. We are expecting, we were putting $2.5 million for the next year, so spending all of that in 1 year, but now with being waiting for the DWR to sign the agreement and send it back for us so we can start the work. We are anticipating to spend $1.2 million in 2025 and then fiscal year 25, and then the rest of the money is going to be in the year after that. So we have the budget is now for $1.2 million for this year.
We still think that kind of work as far as supporting the updated groundwater sustainability plan. Another question, the recent actions that California Department of Fish and Wildlife took with related to Southern California's deal in designating portions of the upper river, particularly the South Fork, as a habitat. Do we feel we have sufficient flexibility in the budget to handle any scientific studies that we might have to undertake to try to bring a little more reality into Department of Fish and Wildlife's perspective?
And take that. I already worked with staff to add funding for remainder of this year. We have funding now to hire and start working that. And so we already started putting money for now and for the next year also.
Okay. And then I was curious. Mention was made of the conservation garden and how that might or not be included in the final budget. Are you looking for a recommendation from the committee as to whether to move forward with that in the budget, or is that something that you'd like to defer for the entire board to discuss.
I'm certainly open to, if the committee has a recommendation on it that we can carry forward, it would be fine.
Okay. I'm concerned about the size of that expenditure, even the other priorities that we have. PFOS, but that's my initial take. I'd like to hear what other members of the committee think.
No, that, Dr. Marks, I think you hit it on the nail. And that was an issue in this committee when this was first broached. It is a huge expense. And there were some also infrastructure issues too, in terms of like security and parking, maybe working with Chamber of Commerce to see if there's a potential revenue for lease or rental or things like that. I'm curious, have any of the staff researched those concerns that were brought up during those committee meetings on conservation garden? Like, let's say parking and security.
We did some of it, but yeah, not, I wouldn't say we exhausted the research on it.
Okay. It was my understanding that last time when this budget item was still put on the budget docket, it kind of served as a placeholder in case there's a need for another study, another project, and that money can be then reallocated from the conservation garden to serve another purpose. Is that also the strategy here from the staff?
No, I don't think so. I think last time we were another like project is how we were thinking of that. Like if we wanted to do another pocket park, right, or something like that, that those budget dollars would be there for something similar to do a project like that. I think, you know, it's still too early. I think the pocket park is, you know, just, you know, and it's in its infancy. Literally, the plants are growing, and so we don't really know the benefit of that project yet.
Right.
So you know, I think that was the purpose of how we kind of were thinking about that part.
Right. I think we were still waiting for the PR dividend from that pocket park. But we haven't received it since the, you know, since the plans haven't really grown to their potential yet. President Martin, how do you what are your thoughts with the conservation garden and $2 million?
Well, I don't mind leaving it in the budget as a placeholder, like you said, because if it ever comes up again, it'll have to be approved by the board and moved forward by the committee before it gets approved by the board. But I don't want us to forget it unless we completely revamp the plan for the conservation garden. If you just want to just delete it and say we don't have a plan for it, we're not going to. I don't know what the status of it now. Is it being used at all? No.
It's being used
kind of in disrepair
a little bit by the students, kind of a specific area of it as it exists.
But the intention for that space is if we need to expand or grow. That's another footprint by Rio Vista that we can use for additional facilities, right?
Potentially, yeah.
So in that case, if that ever happens, then the conservation garden will have to be removed.
Yes. It doesn't sound like to me, it sounds like it would be very unlikely that it would be that we would move forward during the remaining this next fiscal year. Maybe we want to consider it in the next 2-year budget. You know, I'm not adverse to director. Excuse me.
Not sure how much we invested in the conceptual plans or they were almost bid ready plans, as I recall.
Yeah.
They were pretty advanced.
Okay. It was quite a bit.
No. Yeah. How much did we spend on those plans for a year?
I would have to go back and look. Yeah. It was substantial. Not that important, but
maybe it's time for a fresh look. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's,
I don't know what the pleasure of the board will be.
I think let's see what happens with the Bridgeport part, and then move forward with that. I do have questions. Starting on this slide, the GSA, you mentioned that it came from 800K to 1.2, and that our GSP has to be updated based on comments received. So the updates are additional studies that have to be included. Is that right?
There is some additional studies. There is studies that we have planned already. Now we need to revamp so that we can answer some of the specific questions that the Department of Water Resources asked us to include in the next update of the groundwater sustainability plan.
Okay. And then as far as Devil's Dam, you penciled out 300K as we did last year. But I spoke with Ms. Patterson, and it's my understanding that we will receive our first revenue from the solar facility that can cover that amount. So what are we asking for 300K right now?
This is the expense side of it. Okay. So there's still ongoing expense, but the revenue is not shown here.
Okay.
Shown on the other side of the ledger, so to speak. Yeah.
All right, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then regarding the Rosedale phase two wells, and we run into some sigma issues, but this project has been going on 5 years. Were the sigma issues starting from year one, or were the sigma regulations, recent ones, would it not allow us to drill? Meaning, my question is, how come we couldn't move forward with that within the first year of realizing that we need these wells?
We needed to plan for where we're going to find these wells. And so we did a study first to locate some of the potential locations that we can put these wells. And as we proceed, the district, Rosedale District, starting their GSP process, and now they came at one position where the locations that were identified in our study that's going to be feasible for us to drill wells are not feasible anymore because of all the sigma regulations that we have.
I see.
So it took us some time to plan, and then at the end of the day, when we came to implement those plans, we find that there is some new regulations, mainly with impact on other wells, existing wells for other customers.
Okay, understood. And then the West Ranch and Vista Canyon recycled water programs. Have we been able to reach out to the original buy-in people for their feedback?
Yeah, we have been actively working to try and advance the program, so both at Vista and also Phase 2D. So there's a lot more to come there. There's a lot more work to do. Okay. To try and get the customers to want to convert. That's why it's an important component of it. I think it's a three-part test to get, as our ordinance will walk through. Is the water available? Recycled water available? That, yes, it is. Is it of the right quality? Yes, it is. Are you going to provide it at a reasonable cost? And so that conversion helps in that effort tremendously. Without it, you can just imagine putting yourself in the other shoes about, why would they convert if they have to spend those dollars and not recover them over time. So we have two components to the reasonable test. One is the recycled water rate is 20% less than potable. And the Purple Prep program is there to design to help remove the burden of the cost of conversion.
Okay. All right. That's all the questions I have. Dr. Marks, are you okay with the $2 million still staying in the budget?
Placeholder.
Placeholder. I'm okay with that.
Really low.
Good. Okay. You've got our feedback.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Nobody, PowerPoint. We have additional questions.
Checked it this afternoon and would not help. Is it up now?
It will be after the meeting.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. Let's move on to item number 4.1, status of water supplies, presented by Sarah Phil. In person.
In the flesh. The theme of this evening's presentation is fish. This is a salmon egg. That was a salmon egg deployment that we saw on the first slide. So similar things. I'm going to go through weather, reservoir update operations, and have time for questions. Next slide. Just quickly, in case you were worried, I wanted to give you the seasonal drought forecast, and there are no changes in the drought status anticipated. So we should be good for the time being through June. Next slide. A precipitation update for SCV. So far this water year, we've had 22.64 inches, which is more than our historical average for the water year. I did note there, as we kind of change how we look at the historical record, I thought it was interesting and Cheryl's idea to just show our historical average is 17.4 inches, but the 30-year average is 16.2 inches. So either way, we're doing very well this year so far, and the graphic kind of shows you where we are in yellow and compared to the wettest year last year in white. The average is a little bit dark. Sorry about that. And then the orange is the driest year on record. So we're doing good this year. Next slide. Statewide precipitation is pretty much average across the state. There's a couple areas in blue that are above average, but green is right there in the middle, 100%. So overall, it's looking like an average year, and apparently we haven't had one for quite some time. So we need to soak in this glory. Next slide. Statewide snowpack, pretty average as well. Had a little bump there at the end, but we pretty much landed right where we needed to be in comparison with the historical record there at the beginning of April. But across the Sierras, and this was pulled on Monday, I don't think there's been much action since then. Everything's just about a little bit over 100% with regards to snowpack. So that's good. Next slide. 6-day forecast. Apparently, there's a little bit of a trend happening this year with having rain all the weekends. It's frustrating me, but it keeps happening. there's a little bit of rain. It's coming this weekend. We're getting to the end of this time period where we get rain. So I guess we get to enjoy it one more time. Next slide. Atmospheric river forecast is probably the last one you're going to see because there's the blobs are getting smaller. So I don't think we're really dealing with any kind of atmospheric rivers this storm, but something is coming this weekend. Next slide. With regard to weather shift, we did transition from La Nina in our really wet 2023 year to this strong El Nino this winter. And we're actually starting to transition back to La Nina for this summer. There should be no impacts this summer, but next winter could be interesting, according to Mike Anderson, the state hydrologist. I think he says that because La Nina is what we experienced through that last epic drought we had, and then it was La Nina when we had a very wet 2023. So, what's going to happen? We don't know. Just kind of like every year, but next slide. Reservoir conditions are looking good. This is a different map, but it's basically a combination of the 28 Western Sierra reservoirs plus snowpack. So You can see where we are right now with that blue line. The average is the dark blue. So we're a bit above the average. And then they add the snowpack on top of that. And again, the snowpack's just about average. So the reservoirs are looking nice right now. Everything's pretty full. Next slide. Lake Orville. And we're starting to get to the end of when we get those storms. So they are pushing to fill Lake Orville now. You can see in the wintertime, they try to stay between those two black dotted lines. That's for flood control. And they've actually been working, the state's been working a lot with the Bureau to keep the blue line, which is the actual reservoir level, above the red line, which is kind of where they want us to be, because the storms haven't been that big coming in. So there's been a little bit of flexibility and really good communication. So that's a good thing in that, like, we're higher than we might be if we had to kind of stay with that red line. And so they're filling it up right now. Makes a little bit of difference, but it's good. The communication is good. Next slide. San Luis Reservoir, this is where we get into that fun fish story. So the Bureau's portion is basically full. The state's portion at the bottom is about half full. And there have been, it's been a very challenging year because we keep triggering export reductions at the Banks pumping plant for listed species. This has been happening since January, continued through March, and is going to continue basically through May. So there's been a lot of fish hanging out near the Banks pumping plant, and they're working really hard to make sure that they're updating science techniques, because this has caused some issues this year with regards to our exports. And so hopefully next year, DWR is going to have some more science in place to be able to do tests to identify fish quickly. Whereas now it takes so much time, it's difficult to say, you know, are they the fish that came, that were released, versus the fish that are the natural fish? And it's a lot of fish information that I'm not too privy on, but I know they've been causing a lot of problems. So hopefully next year will be better, but this is kind of where we're at. So we're about 527,000 acre feet in San Luis Reservoir. We will not be spilling. That's, I guess, the good thing.
Salmon. Juvenile salmon that are showing up.
It's everything.
Don't steal that at all.
It's the longfin smelt that they've been catching, the delta smelt, then there's winter run salmon and steelhead trout. Like, it's like all the fish. I mean, they've been triggering these export reductions kind of back to back and just keep making adjustments. Unfortunately, the adjustments keep, you know, the next fish requires less exports and the next fish requires less exports. So they were down to the Middle River was, I think, minus 500. For the last bit of March, which is basically about as low as you can go, I think.
So they actually have native delta smelt this year.
Yes. Next slide. So our allocation did increase. We started at 10%. We're now at 30%. The water type, year type, is looking like it's going to end up to be above normal. There is potential with that last bit of snow we saw on the snow graphic that we could get a little bit more of a bump, maybe 35 to 40%. 45 might be a stretch, but that's about the top that we could get. And so we'll find out probably in a few weeks or so whether or not that's going to happen once DWR does their updated study. And include that snow information. But we're in a good place at 30%. Next slide. So our operating plan, I've highlighted kind of what's changed in red. So the first dark blue section is kind of our updated 30% allocation. Really the only thing at 30%, we don't need to take any banked supplies. So we've hit our sweet spot where we can meet all of our demands with table A, BVR, RB. We have a bunch of carryover still. We are still going to take the AVEC exchange water back because, you know, we do have some significant groundwater supply sources off. And so that just gives us a little bonus and they're ready to give it back to us. So that has been confirmed. And then Yuba Water Accord, the preliminary information came out that we would be potentially allocated about 500 acre feet of C1. And the cost for that water is pretty cheap now that we've had a wet year. So we're out of that high priced water. So, you know, there's opportunity for a little bit of extra water there also. And we still, you know, at the bottom there, it shows we still with the demand that we're anticipating still end up with around 21,500 acre feet of carryover for next year. So that is kind of the teetering spot. We would have some flexibility if we stayed at 30%. We could put a little bit of water in our banks if we wanted to. If we get a bump to 35 or 40%, we'll definitely have some supplies to put towards our banking program storage. So that way we don't have too much carryover moving into next year. And demands have been low. So the demands that I have estimated there, you know, so far we're 17% lower than what we forecasted for at least the first few months of the year. So hopefully that will hold true throughout the year.
And the 17% less than forecasted, we were assuming we would not be getting so much rain. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a lot of fluctuations in the first few months of the year now. I mean, it's we've had, you know, when you get tons of rain, the demands go down really well. But we've had, I mean, during the drought, we had so many periods of where we'd get a little rain in January, but then February was really hot and our demands just jumped up. So we kind of go off of averages. And so right now we're falling below, you know, I like to also leave a little bit of a buffer so that we're not, you know, right on, but just in case we have plenty of supplies. So yeah, so far we're running low because the rain has been very helpful. So,
okay.
And I think that's it. I have one questions. I covered my face. Yeah.
Comments.
My face was in that fish, but I didn't think it was appropriate. I took my kids to an event and they had this poster and they wouldn't get in and take their picture. So I did, but I made a scary face. But it worked out nicely for the presentation.
Slide number 12. Okay, so no comments from the public. I was wondering if you can kind of explain to me the fish situation. I don't understand it. So the reservoir has to release an X amount of water when they discover an X amount of fish. Is that?
No, so okay, so when we, in the wintertime, there are limitations on our export. So we're pulling water from the Delta, and this is my version, okay? We're pulling water from the Delta, fill in if we need to. Pulling water from the Delta, and there's listed species in the Delta. So as water gets pulled through the banks plant, these fish species are monitored. And if we catch basically a certain amount, we trigger an export reduction. And so we can catch, or I don't think we kill them, but we can catch X amount of fish. And then they say, you've hit your limit. This is a protected species. You need to pump less. Okay. And so there's all sorts of different rules that happen throughout the winter where these different fish species have these rules, I guess, they're listed for certain amounts. So it's just been a little bit unfortunate that we've been triggering all of them this year.
Understood. Similar kind of work at grading dogs in Vallejo. Whenever we put a ship in and then start to discharge water, we have to capture all the fish and release it. Okay. All right. I understand this. Directors, questions, comments? Is it Martin?
Sir, are you surprised that they're holding at 30%? I know you say it's potential they could go up to 40 or 45, but given given the report on the statewide precipitation,
mm-hmm.
it seems like it's conservatively low.
It is conservatively low. And one of the other reasons it's conservatively low is because they've deferred a bunch of work at the Oroville Reservoir on the Hyatt plant. And so they're working around construction and releases that need to be made. So they're working on the I can't remember what they're called, where they release water from the lower sections of the reservoir. That keeps the river temperatures at a certain level through the summer. And so they're working on some of those. And that, based on how high Oroville is, when they do the releases from Oroville, that's what allows us to export water. And so they've kind of put into their modeling for what the allocation can be, some of these challenges with the work that they're having to do this year. And so that's part of the reason why the allocation isn't going to get that high, even if we have a huge wet year.
What is our average reliability factor now?
It's around 58%, I believe.
It's unfortunate.
Maybe now
52
in 2040.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The water that we would typically capture during January through April has been so, it's been cut back essentially. So we've got a quarter of the year, and really, the higher production months.
It's no way your models is expecting ever. So,
yeah,
well, we're still in good shape.
We're in good shape, and we have lots of carryover. So, I think that I don't know what DWR is thinking, but that's probably why this was maybe a good year, because a lot of agencies are in a good position after having a 100% year. They're in a better position to handle a lower allocation and get the work done so that everything's functioning as it should be, not knowing what's coming.
The drought map is very good looking.
Do we know when it will start on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. I know. She's killing you too.
Will it rain in Anaheim? How about that?
Disneyland. Hopefully it will keep people away for you. The lines will be shorter.
That doesn't happen then. Okay, understood. Any other questions, comments from directors? It's looking good. Thank you for the presentation and for the 24 operating plan. Puts things into right perspective. Always enjoying your presentation as well. Okay, let's move on to next item 4.2, review of vacuum storage program study, presented by Ms. Flory.
Well, so hello again, and I'm going to be going through a study that Water Resources done recently with regards to looking at new opportunities for water banking and transfer analysis. This purpose of this research was really to help us find some short-term storage options and partnerships for the next 10-year period so we can expand our dry year reserve program potential. We worked with Westwater Research, who's an economic firm. They specialize in water market research. They're the ones that I got the water index pricing for as we were trying to sell water last year. So they collect all that data and they help people with water market research, pricing, advisory, and trading. So all water. And if you recall last year, we did find a place for the majority of our water supplies, but it was a little bit of a scramble to find, who wanted it. And we did end up having to sell some of it. So we're hoping that this type of study will help us find partners that may be willing to do more of a banking exchange versus having to sell water. So we might be able to get more water back in the dry years. Next slide. So we requested an analysis from Westwater of active banking projects. We wanted to look at future banking programs and other temporary storage or exchange opportunities in California that would allow for management of our surplus supplies. And we started this analysis in January, and we're just about finished with the work. I have not read. I got the report, the drafted report, but I haven't read it yet. So this is just a preliminary look. Next slide. What we've accomplished so far, this study has been able to identify possible partnerships, active and proposed water banking facilities. It's found parties that can add to our current portfolio. It has basically created a nice list point or starting point for us for partner outreach. And then they also created a flex water management tool, which I can use now annually in my operating plan to kind of give us a better visual of where we're at each year. What we don't know is specifics on who we're going to work with, specifics on their facilities, how much money it will cost to participate in any of their programs or agreements. We don't know the agreement details. We don't know Sigma limitations. So we have a list of people to start talking to get all of these answers, but we don't have that yet. So the point of the study was to kind of give us that list for partner outreach. Next slide. So basically what West Water did was break down our water resources. They looked at our needs and our limitations and then put them in conjunction with publicly available data and programs and kind of took what do we need and what programs would work best for us. Next slide. And this is a kind of a data collection and process. So basically they started out learning about our water portfolio, the information about our local supplies, our imported supplies, what banking programs we participate in now, when we move water, what exchanges have we done in the past, what transfers have we done. And then they paired that. They also did a little bit of a deep dive into DWR's information with regards to allocations. How often are we seeing high allocations? How often do we see low allocations? Then they put all that information together in the water asset resource management tool to kind of figure out, you know, where does SCB water fall short of supplies? Where do they utilize their banking programs? And where do they have surplus supplies? And then with that information, they went and took a deep dive into their database, their Waterlytics database and their water banking database. And next slide. This is kind of an example of the information that they have. So they have an inventory of about 150 water banks and recharge facilities that they went through. This map shows some of those banks and transfer and exchanges, the locations of where that happens in relation to the State Water Project and where we are in that little green area at the bottom. Their Waterlytics data also contains about 11,000 water market transactions that have happened. So, and then they also looked at CEQA and NEPA to find out who are these active market participants, you know, that we might be able to work with. Next slide. And then this is a graphic that they put together, which I think is amazing. It shows us information about the State Water Project allocation and the trends that we've seen. And if you, this graphic, the yellow colors indicate the lower allocations and the blues indicate higher allocations. So if you look at the all years bar, you can see that if you look at all the years that the State Water Project has been in play, the probability of having a higher allocation is much higher. If you start breaking that down into the last 25 years since 2000, there's a higher probability. It's kind of a 50-50 that you're going to get, you know, a low or high allocation. If you look at the last 15 years since 2010, the probability of drier years goes up. And then since 2014, in the last 10 years, the probability of a drier year goes up as well. And so I thought it was pretty interesting. And what this means to me is that our dry year storage programs may continue to see more frequent use and that in our wet years, which could be less frequent, we really need to make sure we're managing every drop of water that we have available to us for those dry year water needs. Next slide. And then this is a graphic that I can create utilizing the tool that they put together for us. This outlines our 2024 water operations plan, basically. It shows us that if this year, it takes all the water sources we have available to us this year. So it basically says this year, if we were between a 0% and 10% allocation, we may need to purchase water and definitely utilize our banking resources. If the allocation was between 10 and 30%, we're going to be most likely recovering water from our current banking facilities to meet demands. If you do one click, Uni. Can't remember if I put that. Yep. Okay. This is where we are right now in 2024. So we've kind of hit that teetering point where now 30% and above, the light blue shows us where we would be putting water into our banks, recharging our current water banks. And then anything at 60% and higher is where we're going to see we have surplus. We've maxed out our banking resources and we still have quite a bit of surplus, which is basically exactly what happened last year. So there's quite a big section where we have potential for surplus. And one other thing to note on this graphic is that the light blue section right now, because we were able to put about 30,000 acre feet back in our banks last year, there's only about 24,000 acre feet of space left. So if we get a couple decent sized years, the blue will be all dark blue because our banks will be full. And that's the position that we were in 2019. We had, I think that year was a 65 or 75% allocation that year. Our banks were full. We ended up doing some exchanges, 2-for-1 exchanges, but these are the things that, I mean, I don't want to say this is going to happen right away, but we could potentially be close to this again, where this study is really going to help us find partners so that when we're in that, if we're in that position again, we have more options to look at kind of expanding that dry year reserve. Next slide. So Westwater Research took our data, combined it with their data set to see what partners could provide us an opportunity. And they kind of know where we were hitting that surplus of storage and shortage sections as well. Next slide. So before we go into some of the findings, we did define some of the things, you know, kind of grouping of the banks. So we wanted to know which banks were operational, having the ability to receive water for deferred beneficial use. We wanted to know which ones were in development, where they've initiated the permitting and design. They might be under construction, but they're not operating yet. And then we wanted to know which ones were proposed. And that basically just means they're talking about it, but they don't have any permitting or designs completed quite yet. And then with regards to the status of the banking programs, we wanted to know who's accepting new customers or increasing the terms for their existing customers. We wanted to know who were owner-only facilities. Those may be like agricultural owners, things like that. We wanted to know who was fully subscribed, so they're not taking any new customers or increasing capacity. And we wanted to know who was on hold, just kind of an option, but right now they're not an option, but they may be in the future. Next slide. So the criteria for the banks that we were looking for who's accepting customers, who can receive State Water Project water, and who can return State Water Project water in future years. Next slide. And so this is what they found. They found 11 potential operational water banks. 8 are accepting customers, 2 owner only, and 1 fully subscribed. 7 public agencies, 4 privately owned in the Kern, Tulare, Fresno, and LA County area. There were 6 in development water banks with 3 accepting customers and 3 owner only. Those were 5 public water agencies and 1 privately owned. And then there were 4 proposed water banks with 2 accepting new customers and 2 on hold. And those were all public water agencies. So got some good information for us to use. Next slide. In addition to the water banking and storage programs, we wanted to also know who would be good partners for exchanges and transfers. In case our banks get full and they may not have banking, we wanted to know, you know, we wanted that list of people that might be able to do some other deals besides selling water. But it's also nice to know who wants to buy water when we're selling water too, so that we have a nice list of options. So they looked at that as well. Next slide. And similar criteria, just availability, state water project priority, and if they have return capacity. That was the criteria. And then they found 14 total transfer and exchange opportunities that they identified with 13 public agencies and one private corporation in those different counties. And then they found 15 transfer and exchange with banking capacity. And that was 12 public agencies and 3 private corporations in those counties that were listed. Next slide. So in summary, this research, once we get the report, is going to really help us provide directions for some next steps in the process. It shows that we definitely have a risk because we don't have any storage, and that's something we're working on. And we have surplus and deficit that happens pretty frequently. So we're using our programs. And so there's 21 potential water banking opportunities for us, 28 water transfer and exchange opportunities identified or partners. And this report is going to highlight kind of which agencies might be good for us for a first approach, because that's a pretty big list. So what we're going to do, our next steps is going to be to finalize the report, review the report, kind of look into those highlighted agencies, and then hopefully put together a phase two proposal so that we can facilitate some of these new partnerships, and then also take a deeper dive into the partner profiles that are going to be put together for these highlighted agencies. That's kind of the plan right now. And I think that's it. Any questions?
I'll take questions. Mm-hmm. Do we have any virtual activities?
Nope, not anymore.
Directors, questions, comments?
Oh, yeah. And we have Alan Becker online as well from Westwater if you have any specific questions for him.
Sorry, what's the name again?
Alan Becker.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add one thing. This is not the last time we're going to hear about this. We're going to come back to you again with more details. But now I think we just wanted to give you a highlight of where we are, what was the scope of the work of this study, and we're getting some information. Probably we are not going to share all of this information at this point. And as Sarah mentioned, we don't have all the information ready yet. But we are going to come back again to you in future meetings so that we can share more information about this, the specifics, some of the specifics.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Director Marks?
Compliment staff on being proactive. You're recognizing the need for additional partners. Being able to take a step back when you're not in the midst of crisis.
Yeah.
Identify a new partner, potential partners. That's a great step that they take.
No, absolutely.
President Martin. Just first thing that occurred to me is Westwater apparently works with lots of agencies in California. Are we showing up on other agencies' list of possible partnerships?
If they're looking, if they're asking Westwater, I guess, for that information.
Not sure why they would hire Westwater if they weren't looking.
I can add another to that, because Westwater is working, as example, with Mojave Water Agency, and they were helping them develop their banking, a new banking operations. And one of the things they talked to us in the past about, you know, what our potential for being a partner, because Mojave identified us as one of the possible partners. Again, so that's a good example.
Somebody gives you a good head start in trying this. So I think very interesting. Thank you.
Wow, this is great work. Mr. Becker, can you hear me?
Dan, am I coming through?
Yes, I think I'm going to hear you.
Okay.
Can you show slide 16? I have a question for you. So 21 water banking opportunities were identified, 28 water transfer and exchanges. As far as on the first name basis, I know you did your company did a deep dive to identify all of them, but have you also spoken with someone comparable to Ms. Metz Floria at those agencies, like her counterparts? Have you initiated any one-on-one telephone conversations or Teams meetings, anything like that?
In the report, we identified some first approach participants or opportunities, and I have been in contact with them. I know some of them from past work, but I've been in contact with either through email or phone with all of those. And there's a good portion of the other identified opportunities that I know from previous work, but have not been in contact about this other than to see if they're interested in being put on a list of potential contacts.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Ms. Flory, what is your strategy on, first approach or, making contact with your counterparts?
First, I'm going to go through the agencies they've highlighted, and then, Westwater has, I think they've put together little snippets from what I've heard of why they've recommended these as first approach agencies. So I think we'll start by just going through those. I think that the phase two proposal is really going to give us more information on the details of all of those first approaches. And then we can start strategizing with Westwater to figure out, how and what is the best way to start those connections. Because I think, they have so much information, but I think actually speaking to these agencies or private owners about what their situation is, what their water resources are, when you can take water, when you can give water back. I think those details, we still need to dive into all of that. So how we're going to pick, I don't think we've decided that yet.
So Chair Ozhowski, we, as Sarah mentioned, Sarah, I think, detailed the kind of a lot of the initial approach that we're going to go through. One of the things need to be noted here that many of those opportunities are beyond our existing list of current partners. So it includes partners that or potential partners that we didn't have any relationship with them before, but they are really in a position where we can, Westwater identify for us based on the information they know about us, information they know about these partners that they could be a good match for us. So this is kind of, we don't want to call it matching work that we're doing, but it's in a way it's matching. They know our portfolio, they know other people's portfolios and the opportunities, and they're matching us. So I think we are still in the early stages of this, but this is, as Sarah mentioned, there's going to be phase two. That's what we're thinking about now on how we can take it to the next level of this work.
Okay, understood. Yeah, definitely looking forward to status updates. President Martin?
One more. Is this the first time we've worked with Westwater? I know Dirk will know the answer to that, but.
I think Matt works with them in the conservation.
Have you worked with them before this report?
We had them do one other study some years back regarding pricing. They have an interesting business model. They've been mining the public record for probably a decade or two, having pricing information and developing their algorithms.
I remember that was right when I started the planning, I think, that that was coming out.
I'm sure you remember.
Yeah, on the free, it was a like a free market water cost study. I can pull that up. It's in deep.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Yeah, my experience with it was there. To be pretty reputable folks. I think there have been other state water contractors, as Darren mentioned, that have used some of Mojave. I think AVEC has also utilized their services.
Okay. All right. Well, great work. Thank you, Ms. Flew, for the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Becker, for joining us tonight, and we look forward for future status updates.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Let's move on to item 4.3, staff activities, presented by Mr. Hassan.
Thanks, Chair Osahowski. I have a very short report today. The first one is on April 4th and 5th, Ernesto Vasquez and myself participated in the Managed Aquifer Recharge Conference, the International Managed Aquifer Recharge Conference in Arizona, Tucson. Ernesto was presenting about our recharge feasibility study. It was well received. Actually, it was one of the last presentations in the conference, and I was so surprised that the room was full because most of the people are from California. And so most of the presentations are from California, and so it was a really good experience for Ernesto to get some feedback about what we are doing and kind of have some peer review looking into what we are doing and compared to what they are doing. And so there was also a lot of opportunities for knowledge sharing with different agencies, including Orange County, Water District, and so many of the other banking facilities around the state. We had a chance also, I had a chance to moderate one of the sessions about managed aquifer recharge in challenging environments. And that's included some of the PFAS issues in groundwater recharge and how that's impacting some of the operations of some of the districts around the country. And so it was a great experience. Ernesto did a great job. I just wanted to acknowledge that in presenting the study and receiving good questions and answering all of these questions. And he made some connections where some people are sharing some of their knowledge about their district work. And so that was a great opportunity for us. That's my main item I have. I want to end my report on a lighter note today. On April 1st, which is April Fool's Day, I saw this in the news, white shark spotted at Cascade Lake. It was really interesting. So I just shared it with staff, and it was very interesting news. But another news for us in the water resources family, Nigel Pitois welcomed a baby boy, Lucas, I think on March 19th, And so we are very happy for Nigel. She is doing well as the baby boy. So we are happy to welcome a new member of the water resources family. Thank you. Let's end my report and I can take questions.
No virtual meetings. And directors, comments, questions?
Good report, Ellie.
Right, thank you. Peace Center, congratulations to Nigel. All right, let's move to item number 5, committee planning calendar. Mr. Olson.
You might have seen some updates that's happened in this version from the previous versions. We are adding that we are planning to come to the committee for the approval of a consultant for developing the recycled water feasibility study. That's we're planning to come in May. That might be pushed a little bit to June, especially now knowing that the procurement have some requirements that we need to follow. Specific dates and specific times. So we are still planning for May, but hopefully, if not May, it will be June. We are working internally, as I mentioned, with engineering and also the operation to put together a request for proposal for the recharge study phase 2. And we are pushing very hard that will come back in June so that we can get approval and we can move that project so that we can start working the preliminary design of the recharge project, the local recharge project for us. These are two of the main items that we're going to bring in the next couple of months. But the other of the items stay the same as last agenda.
Okay. No virtual attendees, directors, comments, questions?
We've captured President Martin's request on the solar field performance update request.
Okay, no, agreed. If you can squeeze that in to our committee meetings, absolutely. Regarding the recycled water optimization study, can you tell me what facilitated having that study? Is it just optimizing the delivery or seeing if there's any more willing customers willing to accept it?
Yeah, I can run through that. I mean, I think it's more about what does the future hold for water reuse. So as you know, you just go downriver or you go over the hill, and everything is talking about water reuse. So indirect potable or potable reuse, right? So direct potable reuse. So I think from our perspective, we have a lot of resource here that traditionally we have planned to utilize through purple pipe infrastructure. So the idea in the sanitation plant now has a whole new treatment methodology that they've employed because of the chloride removal issue that has a lot of the components of indirect and direct potable reuse at the facility now. So this study is going to take a fresh look at, do we have the capability to do that here locally, going that next step? And so helping us evaluate whether that's a thing that we could optimize or is even feasible. And I think that will set us up for our urban plan and being able to articulate kind of that resource component in a more, robust way.
Okay, understood. All right, looking forward to that presentation. Okay, I have no other comments. So with that, we move on to, unless President Martin has a question. Okay.
The April 16th board meeting, is the Delta Conveyance funding still on that agenda?
No. You push that to most likely. I think we've landed on the first meeting of June.
Yeah, good catch.
Thank you.
And Director Marks? Okay, with that, we move to item number 6, adjournment. Means adjourned. Thank you, staff. Thank you, Director.